Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mahomes drops to the knee for the final time, and he goes right to Stephon Gilmore. Nice touch by the young quarterback. And the Chiefs are going to come out of Foxborough with a second win since the season opener of 2017. Kansas City prevails by the 23-16 final today. Patriots head on the road next week to Cincinnati. And again, their journey through this 2019 season may indeed lead to another encounter with these Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC playoffs.
Happy Monday morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Monday. Rain, traffic, loss. Talking about a Friday.
What are we talking about Friday?
State of the team. What's it going to be when we walk in here Monday?
You know, we said if they lost, that it would feel really bad. And that if they lose, you got to look at this season a lot differently about their chances in the playoffs. I do, by the way. I do look at their chances differently. But the loss itself doesn't feel as bad as I thought it would feel.
It doesn't feel as bad as the Texans' loss.
No, not at all.
You lost to a better team yesterday than you did 2 weeks ago. You were a better team after that Texans game. I thought there's energy. I thought they played with purpose. They're flying around. Obviously. Issues, right? And we'll get to the offense and all that. Issues. But they threw everything. Man, it's kitchen sink stuff and motion and different formations and personnel groupings. They came out to win this game. They didn't sit there and say, boy, they just lollygagged around, just lazy, lackadaisical, no energy, no sense of urgency. No, I didn't feel that. But they balled. This team's got balls. I know that through the three losses. You lost to all three division-leading teams in the AFC. I know every year's different. I sit there last year, 9-5, lost every road game. Lost them badly. Didn't fight to the end of every one of them. This team fights.
Do you think this team could win the Super Bowl?
I think they got enough to win the correct matchup, if that makes sense. This is a weird year, man. This thing's wide.
No, not a matchup. Three matchups. To win three matchups in a row against playoff quality teams. Can that team watched last night do that with its offense the way it looks right now?
Different question. Can they win a single game against a random NFC team? Sure.
Yes.
Can they win all the games they're going to need to get there?
I mean, you want to say probably not.
They've got to win three games in 4 weeks, and they've got to do it against playoff teams.
Well, yeah. Teams that have already beat.
Teams that have earned the right to play them. Yes.
Baltimore, Kansas City, Houston potentially.
Tennessee
Pittsburgh, potentially.
Pittsburgh potentially.
Playoff quality teams.
Tell me who you're playing, when
you're
playing.
In 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, by the way, who's reffing? What's the crew on that game?
I don't. We'll get to that.
We're going to get to that, yeah. Why are we staring at Josh Fowler?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Sweet valet jacket on the other night.
We're seeing him, not us, on the screen.
Is everybody seeing that?
And now he's...
Josh, here's my keys. That's it up front. There you go.
That's Josh Fowler, our television producer.
Yeah, take
at NBC
that
Sports
scarf
Boston.
Off. If I were you, I would take that scarf off immediately.
You don't wear a scarf inside.
Is it not heated in there? What's going on? Are you cold?
Take the scarf off, Gasper. Yeah.
What, he's just staring at a computer? Look at him in there.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that they probably don't have enough. That this is probably not going to end the way it ended last
year. That's what you're thinking, and it's frustrating. And then you see glimpses where, okay, they bear down. Drop their nuts. Let's go. Let's hold a team to three here the rest of the way. See if our offense could get it going. They attempt to get it going.
Hey, their defense is still good.
Yeah, I know that.
And they held them to 3 points in the second half yesterday.
Damn, that big play over the top.
They gave up one long touchdown drive. The other one was on a short field after the turnover, the pick by Brady.
You're right, though. Chiefs had to earn a couple of those. Yeah.
They did.
Yep.
And
I'm torn today.
Some of the bad, like that 3rd and 19 that Kansas City converted, I look at that and say, oh, geez.
Ridiculous.
Can't have that happen.
But
things that happened in that game.
But who's throwing it? And did he hang in there, take a shot, and get drilled? And just that type of guy makes that type of throw. Is Josh Allen going to make that throw?
And on the Hardman touchdown.
Duck Dodge is going to make that throw?
On the Hardman touchdown, you're going all out after Mahomes, and you leave him up on Jonathan Jones, and forget it. Like, dude, you can't. These guys are too fast. So, yeah, I think it's bad in the sense that, okay, they haven't beat the playoff teams. They haven't beat the division leaders in the AFC. That's a real problem. I don't know why you'd be picking.
Yeah, you know what that is? That's and what we do in the world of sports is watch the scoreboard. That is a scoreboard thing. Yeah. Yeah, inefficient there. Yes.
Can their defense carry them? Can they win games on defense?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know that anymore. Uh-huh.
You turn the ball over, you score with it. I don't know. I don't know.
Is the defense as good as you thought it was 2 months ago?
I think it's the same because everybody bitched about who you were playing. You didn't play anybody yet. You didn't play anybody yet. So you're,
which
you didn't
was
play
true.
Anybody, right?
But we.
So if that's the case.
I know I did. I fell into the trap.
Well, maybe you didn't. Maybe this is a product of them not playing anybody.
I fell into it. I said, you know what? Yes, you can't blame them for their schedule, but these guys are so good, it's going to hold up against the good teams.
I know the defense is better than it was.
It sort of has. I didn't feel like the defense had a bad game yesterday. I felt like they were not good against Houston. They were definitely not good against Baltimore.
I thought your team played better yesterday than you did against Houston.
I would agree. I thought their defense played okay yesterday.
Like there are some positives to take. This is not all negative.
I think yesterday is a perfect game to show you that you can't turn a game against Kansas City into a game that gets played in the teens. You can't do it. It's going to be a real uphill climb to turn a game like that into the game you want it to be. If you want to beat them 20-17, it's a hard thing to do. And we saw it yesterday. So, overall, I'm not feeling as great about this team as we did a month ago.
If that's Bob Sutton yesterday, you probably win that game. I thought Spagnuolo had a great plan, brilliant plan. He did a lot of things that the last two teams that beat you did. And you forget that Brendan Daly's there, and he took Chris Jones and put him right over top of James Ferentz. Okay, you got a new center making a start. And Chris Jones, long, lengthy guy everybody talked about. Oh, usually an outside edge guy. We'll kick him inside. We'll put him over the center. He can't handle him. Brilliant by Brendan Daly. Smart. Now, Romeo got you last week. Romeo sat there and said, you're not going to beat me with Edelman. I'm not going zone like some of these other idiots in this league. I'm just going to have you pick me apart on third down zone. No, I'm going to double Edelman all day. Beat me with everybody else. Can you? No. And that's a slap in the face to everybody else on the outside.
It felt like the Patriots offense yesterday had to rely on trick plays.
The whole league does.
Had to rely on a lot of,
San Francisco ran too. Baltimore does it every week. You know? Teams do this.
Is that sustainable, what the Patriots showed you yesterday?
If you hit them. You hit them.
Yes.
Yeah.
You just keep running the same ones?
Am I right or wrong? The league does a lot of this. You see it all the
time.
Was
the Nikhil Harry play a gimmick trick play?
No.
No, that's a power play. That's like, Jesus, look at that. Who the hell's that guy? And why does he have the ability to explode like that? Why is he only in the field twice?
If a team wants to be over aggressive, like because they don't believe your receivers can get open, yeah, use a flea flicker. That's what you do.
Yeah, I mean that first drive, you got the benefit of converting on third down twice due to DPIs that I just don't think you can bank on that. You can't rely on that. That's no way to win games.
No.
Chuck it up down the field.
No, you don't rely on that.
Hope to get interfered with.
It's the correct call, though.
I mean, here's my thing. If they don't get interfered with on those plays, are those catchable balls or are those completions?
I don't know.
I don't think they are.
Well, here's the thing. Do you go to Dorsett late in the game the way you
Myers
did?
Myers got pass interfered with and he still should have caught it.
He still should have caught the ball and he didn't.
Right.
So I don't look at them and say, oh, yeah, those were definite completions for them. I look at them and say, hey, you got the call. Good. you know, it's
but
good
they scored
for you.
16 points. They got 4 points taken away from them. They went for two.
Well, yeah, but you're giving them the credit for the
Hang
first
on.
Touchdown drive when you got the benefit of two calls, which the, you cannot rely on, is
scored,
my point.
They scored 16 points. They got 4 points taken away from them. They got the extra point taken away from them. They went for it on fourth down in the Chiefs' territory and missed, and they got a field goal blocked. And they were down there at the end of the game. There were more points to be had. Their offense did more than the 16 points that they showed for.
I do agree with that. Because at the very least, that game should have gone to overtime. That's the way I feel about the way the game was officiated.
What's
we have
that
plenty
tell you
to say on that. But all I'm saying is that the officiating also played a factor on the first drive. And I shouldn't say officiating. They weren't bad calls. The other defense helped you on the first drive by committing penalties.
They helped all day. They had, 12 penalties for 130 yards or something?
Yes. But you cannot, I just don't look at that as a reliable way of moving the football. Two DPIs and a flea flicker to get on the board. Like, great. It happens sometimes.
Yeah. I watch
it. I don't think that's a blueprint for success.
No, it isn't. But I mean, I watch every day in the league, and your ability to adjust like that. Like I said, you do something weird, you're going to put Chris Jones down inside. You're going to put eight guys around the box. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to try and run James White, make him stretch it more. And then we're going to do a flea flicker. We're going to get your ass on it. It's kind of adjusting. I mean, you don't go, I don't think you go into the game and say, okay, we're going to run four flea flickers, you know, in this game. Like, wow, look at this. Okay, they're overplaying it. Josh, get them off our ass. Do something. Run a flea flicker. You know, the James White play. Never threw a ball before. I'm like, there you go. Things, doing things that you've never done before. Why are the lights blinking?
I'm adjusting my expectations for the Patriots in 2019. That's all. As I said, I would. If they lost again.
It's what we do weekly.
And they did.
It's what we do weekly.
And so I'm adjusting.
0-3 versus three divisional opponents that are leading their divisions.
Yeah. Not writing them off in the sense that crazier things have happened. And if there's any team that can pull off something crazy, it's this one.
They almost did it last week. They almost did it again this week. They don't quit. They didn't quit down in Baltimore. They were down to Philly. Yeah, at that time, we thought that was a good team, Philly. You readjust expectations. Now we think Philly's not a good team.
Still excited week crazy. To week to watch this and see how it plays out.
It's fascinating. Absolutely
expectations
fascinating.
Are a little bit adjusted today on this team.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. Lots to talk about in the game. Let's get to the refs because that's the thing that will just drive you crazy today. So I think we should try and get that out.
Saw your tweet yesterday, $16
billion. In revenue last year, yeah.
Yeah.
$16 billion.
And that's what you come up with. Bob Soucy started our broadcast yesterday with, you know, when the schedule first came out, this is one the entire league had circled. All the CBS people were in yesterday.
Well, the league didn't circle it, but we'll
and
get to that.
The league just said,
Jerome Boger and company. That is next on Zolak and Bertrand.
Odie.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody. And Mahomes from the gun on 3rd and 2 takes the snap under some pressure, steps up, throws across the middle. Kelce makes the catch, curls back to the 35. Ball's knocked down. Gilmore picks it up. He's on the run to the 50.
Yeah.
Gilmore to the 45, 40.
Come back.
Now the play is stopped with the whistles to sound. Devin McCourty undercutting
contact.
Travis Kelce. They're going to say that Kelce was down by contact. The video board shows it, and Bill Belichick just fires the challenge flag again on the.
That ball's out. That ball's out.
Coming loose, it appears, before Kelce hit the turf. Yeah, the ball's clearly out.
Oh, that ball's clearly out.
What a great play by Devin McCourty.
Unbelievable. McCourty knocks it
in with the knifing tackle, and McCourty kept fighting and fighting with that left hand and eventually forced the ball out before Kelce's right elbow hit the turf.
What a play.
What a great play by Devin McCourty.
That's the way you turn the ball over.
That is a call that should not stand.
Now
let's hear what Brogan has to say.
After reviewing the play, it is a fumble of a clear recovery by New England. It'll be New England's ball, 1st and 10, at the 43-yard line.
You
ever been at a home stadium when a play gets overturned, the people still boo because they had enough at that point?
Well, I think they were still booing because of the spot at the 43.
They knew it was going to be at the spot, recovery, first down. People knew it. There's nobody that thought that was going to be a touchdown. Can't be a touchdown. You stop the play. Wasn't it Steratore's crew here that did that one game on the sideline? Ball was still in play. About 2 years ago, I thought. Jim, what home game was that? Same thing.
The AFC Championship game?
Oh, my God.
Miles Jack?
You're right.
You lost? Then you won? Is that what you're thinking?
No. That was in front of the Patriots bench. There was another game right in front of the visiting bench. Same type of play. Bang, bang, balls out. They stopped it, blew it dead. That was a Gene Steratore game. His brother was on the game.
Yeah, his brother was on the game last night, along with Jerome Boger, the referee in this game. That entire crew should lose their jobs.
I 100% concur.
I'm not saying that as hyperbole and, outrage. No, they're a bad crew.
What happens if you don't do your job or you don't do your job?
They're bad, bad crew. They're bad for the league. That's embarrassing what happened last night. Even if you're not a Patriots fan, you're a Chiefs fan, whatever it is.
Doesn't matter. And I said this in the second quarter, regardless of outcome, because it was two quarters of hell at that point. I kept saying it too. Regardless of what the outcome of this game is, this crew should never work a game again, ever.
Here's what I would say to minimum.
$16 billion industry.
Here's what I'd say to minimum. Find a way to not have them ref the rest of the season. And this won't happen. This is just what rational people would do. People that actually care about what happens on the field and don't just care about the money that flows into the bank account.
It's what CEOs, right? COOs do. It's what everybody does, right?
We have no vested interest in how much money the league makes. The league, that's pretty much all they care about.
Yeah, we don't get a cut of it. I mean, they get it. And this is who they hire to do their games. A marquee game. A protected.
They certainly should not be in a playoff game, and I think that's probably realistic. They will not work playoff games.
It's the AFC title rematch.
That guy will not work a playoff game. His crew will not work a playoff game this year, but they should get rid of him.
There was a tweet last night.
He should not be an NFL official. I understand if they can't make it work from now until the end of the year, the assignments are done. I guess you just deal with it. But come 2020, that guy should not be on an NFL.
And this isn't based on a single game because you botched the New England Kansas City game. There's a pattern here with this referee.
Yeah, he sucks.
He's awful.
And so does his crew. And the explanation last night is so bad. So incredibly bad.
It's the latest I've ever left a post game. I do Channel 4, fifth quarter. And I stayed for two extra segments because of the magnitude of the game and because of what transpired. The refereeing crew was still in their locker room.
Like, if you're the NFL,
they're usually clear by then.
And you see how that plays out last night. If you're an owner, if you're the crafts today, how do you not go to the league meetings and say, guys, you're telling me that there's not another official or another crew of guys that is working in whatever conference you want to name in college? Wherever, I don't know where the best refs are. I don't know which conference has the best refs.
Regardless, there was a couple championship games, but
yeah, I know which conferences have the best teams. I don't know, where the best officials come out of.
Right.
You're telling me we can't find another crew of guys that deserve a shot in the league? We can't find the same
Brad
number
Allen?
Of bodies? Now, it wouldn't be one crew that we take for, but
right.
We shouldn't introduce a new handful of guys into the officiating ranks for next season so that we can fire with cause the morons that worked this Patriots-Chiefs game?
Yeah.
Why would that not be possible by, at a minimum, start of next season? Why would that not be possible? This should happen.
I've been doing a broadcast. I said, told Bob that for 10 years. This is and we've had a call here there, like the Cleet Blakeman call down in Carolina where you mug Gronk. That's a single call. We could correctly remember single calls throughout the course of the game. Never have you had four quarters of hell like you had yesterday. You have to go back to the Baltimore game during the scab time when the refs were out on strike. That's the last time I can remember a crew that had no control or feel of the game. The fight was Stephon Gilmore and Sammy Watkins. One guy
no flag
got there late. They didn't even know. Boger didn't even come to the sideline. Normally you get over. The entire Patriots defense was on the bench. Behind the Kansas City bench.
Yep.
And he just stood there midfield.
I wouldn't say the entire defense was back there, but
10. I counted 10.
There's 10 guys?
10.
Really?
Off the field, there's one guy out there with a couple KC guys on offense. Yeah. 10, because they had to go over and get Gilmore out of there. They all ran over.
Wow.
Watch on replay. Watch our angle. It's unbelievable. This guy should never work again. He shouldn't.
You know what I love about that, too?
What's that?
He goes back out to the field and he's like, Push the play clock back up. We had the delay there. Push
after it, after all up. Of that, Kansas City play gets clock. The benefit of the play clock getting reset.
Yeah, go beat the hell to Gilmore. Take a couple swipes at him and go ahead and reset the play clock.
No problem. No flag. And not only that, we'll make sure you don't get a delay of game penalty. Yeah, we'll make sure to take care of that for you.
Two marquee franchises. These aren't expansion franchises. You know, the history that's there, the great games these two teams have played, and the league assigns this crew to work the game. You knew it going in. You're sitting there doing notes. Oh, my God. Jerome Boger's on this
game. Fireable offense. Yeah. What happened there yesterday? He should be fired. His crew should be fired for all of the horrible calls. And by the way, I don't know that it decided the game. I don't think that the case.
No, you had opportunity after opportunity. You didn't have to go for two. You could have kicked the extra point. You didn't have to have a field goal block.
I'm not saying the Patriots lost because of the refs.
Don't be saying.
They certainly got robbed of an opportunity to try and win that game and possibly force an overtime. I feel like that should have happened.
I think Gilmore would have scored.
I'm not sure, though,
because you had Tyreek Hill back there.
But guess what? Even if he didn't, guess who did score? N'Keal Harry also scored. And that also was taken off the board for not being able to see it. But for some reason, not being able to see it meant rule him out of bounds at the three.
Which makes no sense
whatsoever when you have the ability to rule it a touchdown and then automatically take it to review.
And
if you had any awareness of the game situation, you would have done the same thing on Gilmore picking up the football.
And the problem
rule
is,
it a fumble, rule it a touchdown, go back and look at it on tape.
Let New York decide it where they don't have to put you on the
spot. If you suck at doing your job, you can't hold one of the teams responsible for wasting all their challenges on your clear ineptitude.
After they huddled postgame, they still couldn't get the pull report correct. He said, Jerome Boger said, the guy at the goal line, doesn't even know the name of the gentleman, probably does, but didn't input it there. He said he originally ruled touchdown. He never did. He's pointing the entire time at the three where he thinks the spot went out. They can't even get the pull report correct to what they had to feed poor Mike Reese. Didn't you ever think of rolling a touchdown? Well, no, the guy down there first rolled. No, he never ruled touchdown. He's responsible of the goal line. You look at the sideline review. He's pointing at the three, and then they go to the guy down in front of the Patriots bench running down the white, and then they get together. It's amazing,
and it's not just the points that end up off the board. It's all the time that you waste, especially on the Gilmore fumble and recovery.
Like another 3 minutes.
I mean, that's a ton of time. Now this is where I kind of disagreed last night. A little bit, because you say, oh, you do this, you do that. I think that the Patriots especially, Tom Brady, Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, I think they get tweaked a little bit in situations like this, and it compels them to go down and really put together another drive like, okay, you're going to screw us over. Watch this. And they're able to get in position at the end of the game where they have a chance to score again, right? Yeah. I don't have a ton of faith that they would be able to drive down had they gotten the touchdown there instead of the 3 points, right? So it's 23-20. I don't have a ton of faith that they were able to drive down and get into field goal range after that or stop the Chiefs again, because then it's closer. You know, you play differently knowing that you're going to have to score another touchdown or score twice as opposed to once. So that factors into it too. But what you can't take away is the fact that they burned all that time making up for the blown call on the fumble, not to mention trading 3 points for 7 on the N'Keal Harry touchdown. I mean, those are inarguable. They blew those calls with no good explanation.
It's a scary thing. It's not, like I said, and I reiterate this, this is not a single call. This went on for 4 quarters. Zero control. The fight, the communication between the crew, the fact they marked off a penalty, and nobody of the 7 said, it's not a 5-yarder, it's actually a 10-yarder. And by the way, New York has the ability to contact them and say, guys, stop play. You incorrectly are marking this off.
The play you're talking about, and I'll read from Football Zebras, they wrote this up.
I find this worse.
They had improper penalty enforcement for an offensive illegal use of hands. We'll tell you the details on that, because most people probably didn't realize it. It's amazing to me that, did the sidelines realize it? Did anyone in the stadium realize
that? I think that might be why Bill, one of the reasons Bill was going absolutely berserk during two TV timeouts.
Yeah. And that's got to be part of the reason he realized it, but maybe no one else did. We'll tell you the details of that. Bill, I've never seen Bill as demonstrative as he was against the officials last night in game. That definitely could not have come across on the television broadcast, because they're just not going to show you 2 minutes of Bill Belichick losing his mind on them, but it happened multiple times in that second half.
It's distracting.
And we'll tell you about that play in the third quarter. And we'll get to some of your calls coming up next.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady takes the snap. Play fake to Burkett. Throws it left for Harry. Makes the catch. Tries to get outside. Slips and hit to the 10. Harry to the 5. Barrels over a defender. Diving to the pylon. No signal yet. Patriots waiting to celebrate. Now they can. Touchdown, New England.
No. You got to be kidding me. First snap of the game. He looks confused in motion. Brady resets him. Then he keeps coming underneath. What a physical run.
The official's now going to say he was out at the 3.
No, he never stepped out.
But he did not step out of bounds.
This crew's lost.
Bob Stoce was watching that and saw a referee start to put up his arms, call that a touchdown. That was...
Did you hear the delay there?
Certainly a touchdown.
It's got to be bang, bang. You're at the goal line.
But for some reason, they didn't think that was a touchdown. They thought N'Keal Harry was out at the 3-yard line.
Let me ask you a serious question.
Because they didn't see it, they said, we got to rule that out of bounds.
Okay.
Why that's the conclusion they reached is beyond me.
So let me ask you a serious question. If you would poll every single crew in the league, what is the percentage that would rule that out at the 3? Because you hear people and the way they go to review, like referees are trained. If it's close at the goal line and you're the goal line specific guy, you rule touchdown to let it go to review regardless of what the outcome would be.
Right.
It takes it out of the human element hand. And you put it on him.
The improper
people are hammering the guy coming down the white stripe. It's the guy at the goal line pointing.
It happened midway through the third.
It's 3 feet in front of him.
It's one that very few people know about or were certainly talking about after the game, but it's probably the most damaging one to this crew. It's an indictment of every guy in the crew.
I agree with this.
Every single one.
This has nothing to do with N'Keal Harry. This has nothing to do with Stephon Gilmore. They botched the rule violation.
Chiefs offensive guard Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, that's the doctor, was correctly penalized for an illegal use of hands. But instead of marking off a 10-yard penalty, the crew only penalized Kansas City 5 yards. Often, Football Zebras writes, referees will misspeak over the microphone, indicating the wrong penalty yardage, but here... The 2nd and 10 turned into a 2nd and 15 when it should have been 2nd and 20. And so what he's saying, sometimes the refs, when they're saying it on the mic, they mess up. But then when they go to actually mark off the yards, they do the correct yardage. You know, they just right? And as they write, any member of the crew is responsible for shutting the play down in this scenario to inform the referee of the enforcement error. Every guy on a crew is responsible to do that.
But to be fair, the ref has a lot on his plate. Hey, the guy with the white hat, there's a reason you got the white hat, because it's your crew. You're the head of that crew. You drive the bus.
They write, since this did not happen, all 7 members of the crew will be held accountable for the improper penalty enforcement. I'd like to know how they are held accountable. I'd like for the league to let us know.
Oh, you get a letter. You get a letter sent. Remember Dallas had the letter sent to them? Yeah, the 2 tripping calls were not tripping calls.
I'd like to know what that involves.
Sorry.
The being held accountable for that crew. Jerome Boger, Patrick Holt, Rusty Baines, David Meslow, Jonah Monroe, Tony Sterator, brother of Gene, and Carl Paganelli. Those were the guys. Those were the 7 guys on the crew last night. How will they be held accountable, I wonder? After blowing it as badly as they did in that game. Absolutely embarrassing themselves and the National Football League on a major stage yesterday. I'd be curious to know. They should be fired, is what they should be. You lose your job for being that bad at it. You just do. You can't be that bad and keep doing this. 617-779-0985. Shane is in Billerica. Shane.
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
So I don't understand how you guys can be sitting here saying the refs didn't blow that game. That was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, N'Keal Harry did not step out of bounds. That would have made it 23-20, and the Pats would have been driving.
Yeah, Jacoby Myers had a drop after that. Yeah, you elected to go for two instead of kicking a field goal to make it a one score game. You got a field goal blocked.
The thing is if you go for two there, then all you got to do is get a touchdown at the end of the
game
to win.
It's the worst officiated game I've ever watched.
Shane,
you just can't blame the ref, Shane.
If all those plays go correctly,
you not blame the ref.
Okay, I'll explain it to you because you don't want to have a back and forth.
No.
So I'll explain it. If all the calls are called and enforced correctly, you still don't know if the Patriots would have won the game. You still don't know the outcome. That's what I think is the most upsetting about this is the Patriots were robbed of an opportunity. I thought we deserved more football last night. I thought we deserved overtime last night. That does not mean the game was decided on the calls. The game still would have had to be decided between the two teams, even if all those calls went the right way. And the Patriots tied it up at 23-23. We don't know how the game ends still. That's all we know is that they would have been able to tie it. That doesn't mean we know they would have been able to win it. They may have still lost. That's what you feel you were robbed of, the teams on the field Correct. Deciding the outcome.
Exactly.
But we don't know the outcome.
You want to talk
so
about...
So you can't say the Patriots would have won last night had it not been for the refs, because you don't know that.
If you're going to talk literally taking a game away, it's got to be a game-ending play where they blow the call in the end zone or something like that, or even like last year's NFC Championship
Saints.
Game,
Saints.
Where you say, okay, they get themselves into position there where the field goal is almost automatic or something. Okay, then you can make a case. There was just more football to be played last night, and as you said, Beetle, they took that away.
As bad as that Saints game was, at least the Saints had the ball in overtime and then threw the pick, and that's how the Rams end up winning. They go down and kick the field goal and win it. Even after that horrendous, most egregious call we've ever seen officiated. That one. Saints, Rams.
Joe's in Connecticut. Hey, Joe.
Good morning, boys. How you doing?
Hey.
Good.
So, Beetle, your tweet last night, well, it was actually, I think it was Mike Reese's tweet. I don't remember what, but you quoted it and you made fun of it. The answer to the interview question, which was perfectly posed by Mike, it was a wonderful question. He couldn't have worded it any better. The answer, I forget exactly what it was.
Not really. He said, not really. Was the start of the answer?
How hilarious is that?
Yeah, well, we got to get over that. We got to go over that answer. We haven't done it yet, but it's remarkable.
And this is amazing because you know they shut that door, they locked that door, they talk like, okay, we got to do a pool report. This is like when you get in trouble from driving off a stage and you got to get together. What happened this night? How many drinks did we have? Okay, you had two, you had four. You got, all right, yeah.
I wouldn't know, so I haven't had one of those coaching
sessions.
Let's
all get on the same page, all right? Because something happened bad, and we need to get our ducks in.
We'll get to that coming up. We got plenty to talk about the game itself and some of the coaching decisions that were made in the game, because that played a big factor last night as well. And, you know, it's sort of a crappy Monday. Patriots lose last night. The weather today sucks. You probably sat in some bad traffic. We've got leftover fake promos from Friday. Leftovers that we can play next. You want to do that?
Yeah, I need to
lighten the mood a little bit.
I need an elixir.
Okay, we'll do that coming up next.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap when the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Christmas. It's Temptations.
Just like the ones I used to know.
Drifters. Ooh.
Where
what else they sing?
Up,
what the Drifters sing? Some summery song. They sing Under the Boardwalk, don't they?
Sleigh bells in the
snow. Oh, I am dreaming. I feel better now.
Do you?
No. Let's get the fake promo.
We have six leftovers from last Friday that we didn't get to.
These are May?
Yeah, they were from earlier this year.
Jesus.
Well, we had Brady's press conference. So, the press conference from...
It's whenever he shows up.
Yeah, so it sort of screwed up the whole 1 o'clock hour timeline on Friday. So now we get some leftovers.
Stupid.
All right.
Yep.
Are we ready? It's out of place.
Yeah.
Strange Monday at 10:50.
No, it isn't. You're trying to make people happy.
Let's do it.
Middays at 10, Solak and Bertrand. Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports
For the Columbus series, right?
Yes.
Jason Mraz. Yeah.
Middays at 10, Solak and Bertrand. Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
God, it sucks when you lose in the playoffs.
That was Carolina. 21 Pilots for Columbus.
Oh, right, oh, right. For Mrazek.
Good old days.
We already did that one.
Middays at 10, Solak and Bertrand.
Oh, it's not that. It's not that soft.
It's not dry.
Okay. It's a good smell, too, isn't it?
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What was that?
What does it smell like?
Some sort of lotion or something. I've heard rubbing.
Kind of odd for May because, like, it's not, like, totally dry out to where it's winter.
Dry.
You need all that, like, soft lotion.
It smells nice.
Middays at 10, Solak and Bertrand.
Congratulations to Jeremy Jacob.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, Sports Hub.
Oh, that bozo.
That people so stupid.
Batman, you fool.
Jacob.
Original six owner.
Middays at 10, Solak and Bertrand.
Dostihi Asatsky.
Solak and Bertrand.
I know. I know what it is. Monopoly. That's right. That is David Pasternak's horse Monopoly.
Monopoly.
Horse and a hound.
Horse and a hound.
Horse and a hound.
You ask. Dostihi Asatsky.
Is asking.
What did he say to Dostihi
Asatsky.
Dostihi Asatsky.
The most biggest ass.
Yeah.
One more.
Middays at 10, Solak and Bertrand.
Sakeith Shruthika Sohum Abihajay Chris.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5.
I have no idea.
What was that?
No
clue. What were those names?
It was Hardy's kids' soccer team from last year before he moved.
Who were those guys?
We were trying to figure that out. We have no idea.
Kids' soccer team.
What could that have been?
Chris.
Sakeith Shruthika Sohum Abihajay Chris.
Maybe those were names that Mrs. Claus was trying to name Chris Kringle before they came up with Chris.
What the hell were we
Mr.
talking
Mrs.
about?
Kringle. Mr. and Mrs. Kringle were going through names, the name book. And they came up with Chris at the end.
Chris.
Just do a quick Google of these names.
How do you spell them?
How to spell them?
All right, let's hold on. We'll try a couple of different versions.
Sakeith.
All right.
Shruthika.
Contest winners? Sri Lanka?
Thika. Okay. Sohum.
Sohum.
All right.
Abihajay. Chris.
I'm going to go C-H-R-I-S on that one. Or it could be K-R-I-S.
The Elite Eight National Spelling Bee.
That's what it is!
How do you even know that?
Because I just Googled the names.
How would you even know how to spell the names?
Because I'm a good speller.
That's a sign.
That was the Elite Eight from the National Spelling Bee.
Sohum, Abhijay Kodal, Rohan Raja, Sakeith Sundar, Chris.
Jacob.
Rishik. Gandhar.
So there were
Gandhasri.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And finally, Rohan Raja.
I'm like, what the hell were we talking about? That's right. We go.
They had eight co-champions of the spelling bee this year.
Because they just could not get any of them stumped.
Nobody would miss.
So they just called it quits and they all won.
Yep.
Oh, man. That's good stuff. Yeah, I feel better now. I feel better.
Yeah.
You feel better?
No, because it reminds you that the Bruins lost. Like that, damn, playoff run. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the coaching in last night's game and the Patriots' role in losing the game.
Hardy wants to bring up a point, too.
Yeah, a couple points, for sure.
He's got a good one.
In 90 seconds after the headlines.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.